Athens in Paul's day is a bit like Boston in ours. It is a city where history comes alive. Grand, imposing monuments line every square and park. The greats of ages past preside over the ballet of coming and going on the streets below. The heroes, they seem almost to call down from their high pedestals. The women and men of marble and stone, they are all but shouting to us, "You there, rise to the demands of your moment as I did mine." Here is where epic verse was penned. And there, you can still hear the philosophers' quarrel. At this crossing, armies were marshaled and marched off to war, and at that crossing, marathoners collapsed, exhausted, their races won. To walk the boulevards and the backways of Athens as of Boston is to see the very best of our culture, our ideals of opportunity, justice, creativity, knowledge, sacrifice. It is to see them lifted high, celebrated, memorialized. And it is to be humble, to stand always beneath, always in the shadow, the long shadow of those who have gone before. It is to be crowded upon by the brilliant and the mighty and the virtuous, not only of yesteryear, but of today too. It is to be in the company, right now, to be in the company of perhaps some of the smartest, most interesting and daring people who have ever lived, talking in languages you cannot understand, about things you cannot understand. What momentous triumph of a drama is being staged just beyond the marketplace? Paul, he can only imagine. What new medicines and gene therapies are being developed in labs across town? What new paradigms are being laid out in lecture halls right across the river? We can only imagine. To be in Athens in the first century, to be in Boston in the 21st century, it is to feel the thinking and the discovery and the wonderment everywhere around you. It is to sense the energy of many a hard-won aha in the air. It is to be small before big ideas and big dreams. Paul wanders the city as maybe some of us wander ours. At once captivated by the intellectual and the cultural vibrancy, and a little unsure how to share fully in it. For much of the inquiry, much of the art, and much of the science that thrills Paul and that thrills us, it arises from a thought world felt to be inhospitable to Christian faith. Paul worries, as maybe some of us worry, how does a believer relate to the broader society? In what ways should a person's religious commitments come to bear upon their experience and enjoyment of the surrounding culture? A culture by no means wholly evil or perverse, but in fact, immensely compelling, with quite a lot to commend for it. Paul worries, he does. He is, as the scriptures say, he is deeply distressed. So much of what he sees draws him in, and yet so much unsettles and disturbs. Were he to withdraw from the carnival of humanity at its most complex, that is life in a city where learning and striving count for everything, Were he to hole up, were he to seek refuge in comfortable, in safer habits of thought, we might forgive him that. But Paul does not retreat. He does not retreat. In fact, quite the opposite. We see him moving back and forth from the synagogue, a haven of religious life, a warm den of piety where Paul could rest in the familiarity of the teachings and the hymns and the prayers. We see Paul moving back and forth from the synagogue to the forum where intellectual giants would boldly hold court. And we see him arguing with everyone. We see Paul testing the merits of whatever position it is he hears espoused. He debates, quote, devout persons and skeptics alike. He challenges the rabbis with the avant-garde syntheses of the philosophers. And he challenges the philosophers with the ancient wisdom of the rabbis. Paul embraces a sort of theological cosmopolitanism. The Paul who once called himself a Jew's Jew, a Hebrew among Hebrew, a mensch who honored the traditions of his upbringing unimpeachably, to the point even of fighting to protect their purity and integrity in fast-changing times. This Paul, he now casts himself headlong into the currents of Athenian thinking and expression. He immerses himself in, he entrusts himself to the culture. And there is real risk in this. He might lose his firm, sure footing. He might be carried off, might lose his way. These new ideas might lead him astray. He might drift far from his faith. But in opening his mind to different perspectives and opening his heart to different people, Paul does not lose his faith. Paul finds it. He finds it reflected back to him in the sparkling gems of truth he sees everywhere he looks. The culture of these so-called pagans, it is filled with insights that enrich Paul's understanding and Paul's practice of his own religion. And know that I did not say that there are aspects, few and far between, but that there are aspects of pagan culture that Paul guesses he could be pained to tolerate. No, the world of the skeptics, the world of the Epicureans and of the Stoics, the world of the best and the brightest out there, is a treasure trove of grist for deep spiritual reflection and discovery. The philosophy Paul studies enables him to articulate his own convictions with greater sophistication and greater nuance and greater clarity. The philosophy we hear Paul quoting from, it actually becomes the very backbone of the mature thinking we see in the majority of the New Testament writings that bear Paul's name. We hear from Paul in Athens, quote, "As some of your own poets have said, we are all God's offspring." Well, this seed of a thought, borrowed from those who do not share his faith in Christ, it will grow and grow in his mind so that much later, in his letter to the church in Rome, Paul will write movingly, elegantly, of God's adopting us as sons and daughters, claiming us in Christ as children and as heirs. We hear from Paul in Athens, quote, "In him we live and move and have our being." Well, this grain of insight, this grain of insight on offer from those who are not themselves believers, it will become solid ground within Paul, so that by the time he writes his letter to the church in Colossae, he will stand tall and sure on the rock of Christ. Christ, as he now says, Christ through whom and for whom all things have been created and in whom all things hold together. Paul's understanding of and Paul's love for God grows as Paul's understanding of and love for God's world grows. Paul's confidence in taking the insights of the culture at large, taking the best insights of the culture at large to be his own, in letting himself come under their influence, in allowing them to really shape his own faith commitments. Paul's confidence in trusting himself to the world is in fact a confidence in the God whom he believes has made and moves in the world. It is in fact a confidence in the God whom he believes has in Jesus Christ humbled himself and come to be incarnate in the world. The God whom he believes has walked this earth. The God whom he believes has preferred the salty air of our coastlines to the crystal seas of the farther shore. Who has chosen the music of our street fairs over the hallelujahing of choirs of angels. Who has delighted more in the bread of our tables than in the ambrosia of the beyond. Paul's is a confidence, too, in the God whom he believes has poured out the Spirit on all that is. The God whom he believes touches all that is, communicating something of the goodness and love and holiness of God to all that is. So that Athens in his day and Boston in ours truly is, a great spectacle of God's glory, is a theater in which God acts in all things and through all things for the good of all things. God is present everywhere, in everyone, and in everything, awaiting our embrace. Our city, our culture is a temple all its own, a temple inhabited by the Holy One. A temple out from which blessing and revelation and grace flow along in unimaginably strange and wonderful courses. You know this. God is the healing in every hospital and nursing home. God is the beauty in every art gallery and concert hall. God is the joy in every cafe and nightclub. God is the truth in every classroom and research lab. And God would share God's healing. God would share God's joy. God would share God's truth with us. God is the life within the life of the city. And God would share God's life with us.